Back again, another week of the Mush Squad podcast, little post-ugly Christmas sweater party action, Young 12. How we doing, man?
Yo, doing good.
We'll jump right into it. We'll talk some NFL. We'll talk some NBA, a little bit of college football, postseason slash bowl game slash awards. And then we'll jump into our Patrick Ramsey Random Athlete of the Week, which probably one of my favorite ones that we've done research on so far. You came up with the topic this week. We're talking NFL players that were 5'11 or shorter. So NFL players that were 5'11 or shorter. So stay tuned.
Gotta show some love to all the short guys out there doing the damn thing.
There you go. So let's start up with NFL. Big news in the week of the NFL. We'll talk week 14 recap, including the Titans just trouncing the Jaguars 20-0. Coming out of that, another report came out, I believe, yesterday about something alongside with Urban Meyer and former kicker Josh Lambeau. But surprise, surprise, Shad Khan pulls the trigger. Urban Meyer fired as Jaguars head coach. What's your immediate reaction?
Well, I mean, you heard a little bit of rumblings throughout the season that Urban Meyer and the kind of losing the locker room a little bit and losing the team. So, I mean, there's no surprise. There was reports that he kicked freaking Josh Lambeau while he was stretching or something and said, make your effing kicks or something like that. And it's like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm with the old school approach back in the day, maybe 10, 15 years ago. There's nothing wrong with that. But in today's society, there's everything wrong with that. So, I mean, you can't be that stupid.
Right.
And it was just, I mean, they have no choice. They had no choice but to let him go. But I never really was a fan of the hire to begin with. I feel like when you have a franchise like that, that really hasn't won much ever, I think like maybe a college guy's the route or a young coordinator's the route that's out there trying to prove himself, and you match him up with Trevor Lawrence and they both work together and try to get things done instead of like having his own set ways and stuff like that.
Yeah, don't underestimate Urban Meyer. He has won 3 national championships at the college level. But don't forget, he's been out of coaching for, I think, 3 or 4 years before signing on with the Jaguars. He won the national championship. That was the JT Barrett slash Braxton Miller slash Cardale Jones year that they won the national championship with Ohio State. The year after that, he turned the reins over to Ryan Day, and Ryan Day has run with it. Urban, great job doing analyst. I think he's a great analyst for ESPN.
He's very, very nice to listen to.
But I don't think he's in touch with what the NFL is. There's a long list of college coaches who had success at the college level who came to the NFL, and their first year with their first team has been trash. You know, you could run through that list of Nick Saban. You could run through that list of the guy at Rutgers, who's back at Rutgers now?
Schiano,
Doug Marrone.
Yep.
Bill O'Brien from Penn State to Houston Texans. There's a long
billion chances.
There's a long list, but it really doesn't pan out. And even the greatest college football coach of all time, Nick Saban, didn't pan out in the NFL. He did just under 2 years with the Dolphins. I think he was 15-17. It doesn't work. It's 2 different games. One is a leader of young men and boys who are looking to further their education and potentially become NFL players. And the other is you're just another one of those guys. Sean McVay is younger than Matt Stafford. McVay is younger than Matt Stafford. And although the age is a big difference there, he's a player's coach, and Urban Meyer never was a player's coach. He just had talented players at Florida and really talented players at Ohio State.
Oh, absolutely.
Speaking of the Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence having a down year, is it a rough rookie season? Do we think he's going to be able to bounce back? And now that we know Urban Meyer is gone, what's the plans for the future? Where's the best bet for Urban Meyer? Excuse me, not for Urban Meyer, for Trevor Lawrence and this Jaguars franchise?
I think they definitely have to get an offensive-minded head coach in order to work with Trevor Lawrence. I like to maybe compare them to like a Cliff Kingsbury taking a Kyler Murray, you know, kind of type of a franchise that really hasn't had much success, really much success ever. Especially the Jaguars, who are known to be bad year in and year out. So get a young guy that's trying to prove themselves, that could work with Trevor Lawrence and mold him into this superstar quarterback that everybody thought and everybody had this image that he was going to be coming out of Clemson.
Yeah, I still think he's going to be successful. I think it's a rough patch. You know, the coach makes the difference. So gun to your head right now, 12, who's your top candidates if you're Shad Khan and you're the GM down there in Jacksonville? Who are the top guys you want to fill that role?
I read an article. I think they had Josh McDaniels. I don't think he's going to leave. It's going to take, because you have to think, like, those coaches like McDaniel, Bieniemy, they're going to wait for, like, a really good job. They're not just going to take, because Jaguars is not a very appealing job for anybody. But I could see maybe like Kellen Moore go in there, work with Trevor Lawrence, an ex-quarterback, coach looking to prove himself. So I'm thinking maybe someone like Kellen Moore.
All right. More on that in the near future. We mentioned Eric Bieniemy, offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs kingdom is rolling, my friend. I don't want to pat myself on the back too much here, but – Mush Squad, bet of the week was the Chiefs minus 10. And I don't know if you were watching the game at all, but I blinked and it was 21-0 Chiefs. And the Raiders, if you saw the little controversy pregame, Raiders took little huddle to midfield and kind of stopped the Chiefs logo. Why in God's name would you want to do that with versus the Chiefs, who's the defense has been phenomenal the last five games?
Yeah, and it's, I don't know who are the leaders of the Raiders that orchestrated that and thought that was a great idea. Division rival, Patrick Mahomes, like defense, like you're saying, just to rile them up a little bit more. And what was the end result? You get blown out 48-9. Like, that's an awful look.
Yeah, you got your ass kicked. The Raiders got their ass kicked.
And a good stat that you threw out, that like none of their star players really had a great game.
Yeah, it's
Hill for 76 yards, Kelsey for 27, Clyde Edwards-Helaire with 37 yards rushing. So there's a lot of players not known were making plays that game.
Josh Gordon had a touchdown.
Gordon, friend of the program.
Friend of the program, Josh Gordon. But yeah, Chiefs are rolling. I think we posed this question last week or 2 weeks ago from the fans in the Mush Squad Instagram account. The question, I think, was Patriots versus the field for the AFC. I think we now have to ask Chiefs versus the field in the AFC.
Absolutely. I think they definitely took back the crown of the AFC.
Another big game. Mush Squad bet of the week, man. We had another nice week.
We're pretty freaking hot.
We're pretty freaking hot right now.
A lot of pressure this week, but go on.
There was no pressure feeling from the Chiefs minus 10 pick, but I'll tell you what, I couldn't sit down for this Bucks Bills game. Never a doubt. If you listened last week, you tuned in last week, you know we took the Bucks minus 3.5. And it made us sweat, but we got the W on that one with that walk-off touchdown. Brady to Breshad Perriman. How about that name popping up again? Just shows what it
– former first-round pick.
It just shows what it – you know, when you have someone like Tom Brady, it's just next man up. You know, Antonio Brown, you have obviously Gronk, obviously Evans, obviously Godwin. But Breshad Perriman with the walk-off touchdown, Brady 363 and two touchdowns. Brady on the season. Ready for these stats? Question after this stat. 4,134 yards. That's first in the league. 318 yards per game. That's first in the league. 36 touchdowns. Surprise. That's first in the league. And a 68 QBR. That's first in the league. John, Tom Brady, is he the MVP right now?
Without a doubt. It is absolutely insane that at this late in his career, he's still putting up numbers like this. Every single year, he gets better and better and better. And why the hell would he ever retire? There's no signs of him slowing down whatsoever. Like Rashad Perryman, like it doesn't matter who he's throwing the ball to. He has all he could do it with anybody. Right. It's absolutely insane. He's the MVP. They should rename the trophy the Tom Brady MVP award. It's a sight to see, and I hope he doesn't. I think he could go five more years. Honestly,
I think there was a time period right after he won the Super Bowl, when they came back from the Falcons in the fourth quarter there and in overtime, that as a Dolphins fan, as an NFL fan, as someone who just hates the Patriots, it turned from envy and hatred towards Tom Brady to just straight up respect.
Absolutely. And
that was about 5 or 6 years ago, that Super Bowl. And that was about 3 Super Bowl championship wins ago for Tom Brady. So, I mean, I think the man's 44 years old. He's running laps, or literally running. If you saw, he had something like 19 rushing yards in this game. He's talking all this smack to Bruce Arians saying, I got to get it done with my legs. I need extra ice baths during the regular week. But yeah, I think it's just, there's certain athletes, and I don't want to get too deep into this. This is something we'll talk about in the offseason, but there's certain athletes that we've grown up seeing over the last 30 years of our lives, the Michael Jordans. I think we're a little bit too young for Jordan. He was that late 80s, early 90s. I remember watching Bulls Jazz in 98 vividly. Yeah. But I was a Kobe guy. I was always a Kobe guy. I know you were a Kobe guy. So like the Kobes and LeBrons in the NBA, the Tom Brady's, I'll even put something like LaDainian Tomlinson / AP, just like the dominance they've had over the duration of their career. It's just, it's greatness. It's greatness. And it's just absolutely a pleasure to watch these guys play. And Tom Brady is in that category.
Absolutely. And you know what? Like, there'll never be another player like Tom Brady. And that's for damn sure.
7 rings. He has 7 Super Bowl championships.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for Eli Manning, he'd have 9. Okay.
And I think they had something, his worst record ever was 9-7.
Yeah. Incredible. last game we'll talk about before we push into the playoffs and the different COVID protocols and outbreaks that are happening, prepping you for week 15 in the NFL. Rams Cardinals. What a game this was on Monday Night Football. Just a slugfest of 2 NFC West teams. And the Rams squeaked by. And the one thing I want to highlight is look what the Cardinals did. And look what Kyler Murray did. 383 passing, 61 yards rushing. But the issue on that stat line for me for Kyler Murray are the 2 turnovers. The Rams defense is no joke. They brought everybody and their mom in. Von Miller, Jalen Ramsey, obviously Aaron Donald, who's putting up ridiculous stats again. He's defensive player of the year candidate. He had 3 sacks in this game. But you can't turn the ball over. Kyler Murray and the Cardinals offense is potent. It's reminding me of those Kurt Warner Arizona days of how good the offense is. But out of this matchup, who's the team that you're looking out to? You're a Cowboys fan, so you're in the thick of it in the NFC. Which of these 2 teams scare you the most and why?
I think the Rams scare me the most. This is the type of game that we've been waiting for Stafford to go out there and prove that the Rams could be something to mess with in the NFC. And we've been saying it week in and week out that we're still waiting for this primetime game, big game, division game, going against the best team in the NFC. And look what he did. 287 yards, 3 touchdowns, but the most important stat you can have is 0 interceptions. He was throwing dime after dime, and he looked great. And now going forward, I think the Rams are probably going to be the best team coming out of the NFC. Defensive-wise, offensive-wise, like you said, Aaron Donald with the three sacks, but they got Von Miller. Jalen Ramsey missed the game because of COVID, right. But their second Jordan Fuller playing safety. He's probably the best safety in the game right now. But going forward, I think the Rams are going to be a really scary team. And you brought up the Kyler Murray two interceptions. That's been my issue the whole season. You get these teams that have a great regular season, go into the playoffs with a young quarterback that's never been there before, unfamiliar with the big games, and they're going to act out of character, two interceptions, and not really know what to do with the ball.
And I think for the Rams, what's really important, obviously, Robert Woods being out for the rest of the season is a big loss. But seeing how Odell and Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah. has slid in, and we'll get into Odell a little bit because unfortunately him and a few other Rams are now in that protocol for the COVID issue. But I was listening to Dan Orlovsky on the Mike Greenberg show this week.
Okay. And
Dan Orlovsky was saying that it's huge for Odell to get not necessarily touchdowns, but to get early action in the game, because it shows that Stafford and it shows that McVay have trust in this guy. Because first off, he has three touchdowns in the last three games, which leads the Rams in touchdowns. But you also have to look at it this way. Odell Beckham Jr. is a head case. And if you're going to show the confidence in him to continue making the big plays early on, the slants, the quick out and ups, whatever the case may be, when it's that third and eight, third and 11 in the third quarter and it's crunch time, he's going to turn it on for you guys.
Yeah.
So I think that's huge. We talked MVP. I think it's still Brady because we very rarely see any other position players win MVP besides quarterback. But how about the stat line from Cooper Kupp for the game? 13 receptions, 123 yards and a touchdown. And then for the season, 113 receptions on the season. That's first of all receivers. 1,489 yards, that's first. And 12 touchdowns, also first. Are we looking at the offensive player of the year? What's going on here?
I think hands down, offensive player of the year. I think he can even miss a couple games, come back at it, and then still win offensive player of the year. Because I don't think anybody's even close to those numbers. I think Justin Jefferson is second, but even he's 400 yards short of him, but he's definitely offensive player of the year. Brady MVP, he's offensive player of the year, hands down.
So sticking with the Rams, some early news this NFL week. You want to listen to this, you want to tune into the Mush Squad to get your updates because we are now in fantasy football playoffs. So sorry, John, enjoy the rest of your off season. But the Rams, we mentioned Odell. Odell and eight others are now in the COVID protocols, which means they are potentially going to miss this game this week. But, you know, the way that the NFL works, if you do have your vaccine, if you are vaccinated for COVID, you just have to provide and produce two negative tests within 24 hours. So it's like if you test negative on Thursday and you test negative on Friday, you should be good for the weekend games. Not only are the Rams facing COVID protocol issues, but the Dolphins, especially that running back room, Miles Gaston, Phillip Lindsay, Selvin Ahmed, all out potentially this weekend versus the Jets. Now it's just the Jets. So, okay. I think they could still win. But earlier today released Jalen Waddle also now in the protocol. So what does that mean for the offense? What does that mean for additional receivers who are in that receiver room? But I think the biggest and most controversial, not controversial, but the most substantial absence coming up, Baker Mayfield and Kevin Stefanski both tested positive for COVID. Now, let me just pull up. I think it's a big AFC game for the Browns this week. They're playing the Raiders. So at home against the Raiders. Good news for NFL fans. We obviously have the Thursday night game, Chiefs Chargers, which is tonight 8:20. But starting this weekend starts the Saturday games 12.
Hey!
Another day of football.
Football the better.
Raiders Browns on Saturday and Patriots Colts Saturday night, which is going to be a big matchup. So yes, big ups for Saturday games. Another night of football. I love it. But yeah, hopefully all this COVID protocol stuff clears itself. I know they implemented some new stricter guidelines for offices and locker rooms this morning. Everyone has to wear masks when indoors. Meetings either have to be outside or virtual. No team lunches anymore. Grab your stuff and go to your car and eat or go back home. Yada, yada. Regardless, if the playoffs started today, so 12, there are only four teams who have been eliminated from contention, meaning they can't make the playoffs. We're at week 15.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Everyone is now, obviously, the additional wild card seed and the additional regular season game keeps things alive a little bit more. But we're at week 15 starting tonight, and only the Jets, Texans, Jaguars, and Lions have been eliminated. What does that say about the competition this year?
You know what? It was controversial at first when they went to the 17-game season now with the extra game. But this is honestly, this is great. This is great football. Great for the fans. Great for each team that's still alive, still clawing their ways. Right. It brings you good football. Nobody's really tanking. The four teams, they're freaking awful football teams. So it's kind of like everybody that's still alive are decent football teams, and that they're not shit teams that are going to go into the playoffs. They're all going to be really good football teams.
Yeah. If the playoffs started today, I'll run down this quickly before we move on. AFC, Patriots 9-4, Titans 9-4, Chiefs 9-4, Ravens and Chargers 8-5. So big matchup tonight. Chargers versus Chiefs on Saturday. Sorry. Colts in the sixth spot with 7-6, and the Bills in that free fall at the seventh spot, 7-6. Browns, Bengals, Broncos, Steelers, Raiders, and Dolphins all still alive within one or one and a half games. On the NFC side of things, that Cardinals loss to the Rams bumps them from that one seed down to the three. And for all the other NFC teams, a very scary sight to see. Packers with that first round bye and potentially having the NFC playoffs run through Lambeau in January. Thoughts on that?
I was really hoping Chicago was winning a little piece of that game, last game against the Packers, but goddamn, please somebody give them like two more losses or something. I don't want them to have home field advantage.
Yeah, that's scary. That's scary indeed. Tied up at the top, but have through tiebreakers the home field right now. 12, let's transition real quick to the college football world. We'll kind of cross this bridge through Todd McShay, using him as a vehicle, released his first way too fucking soon early first round mock draft. And Lions, with the first pick, taking the Detroit, Michigan guy, Aiden Hutchinson, as a defensive end. I'm not hating it, but again, we'll see. Texans going Kayvon Thibodeau, the D end of Oregon. I like that pick as well. Staying consistent on the defense. Jaguars looking to draft an offensive tackle to keep Trevor Lawrence upright. So that the mock draft has Evan Neal, offensive tackle out of Alabama. The Jets going with a cornerback from LSU, Derek Stingley Jr., which I believe he was in contention for defensive player of the year for the SEC, but he missed out due to the Alabama safety that won it. Yeah. And then Giants with a D-end pick out of Purdue. Good luck trying to pronounce his last name, Karlaftis.
There it is.
But a surprise, first quarterback coming off the board, projected by Todd McShay, is Kenny Pickett from the University of Pittsburgh going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So
that would be good. I think he could definitely save that organization right now. Because there's been reports that Big Ben is his last year in Pittsburgh, whether he wants to retire or not. I think he should definitely retire. Yes. But what I found interesting in the McShay way too early mock draft was he had five quarterbacks taken in the first round. Yeah. Kenny Pickett just started off at number 12. Then after that, he had Matt Corral, quarterback for Ole Miss, going to Washington at 13. Then Malik Willis, quarterback for Liberty, transfer from Auburn, number 17 to the Broncos. Then Desmond Ridder, quarterback for Cincy, going to the Saints at 19. And then Sam Howell from North Carolina going to the Lions at 25. So that's five quarterbacks in the first round is a pretty good, pretty big number of quarterbacks to go.
Especially for a week.
And especially from last year, a lot of the quarterbacks really not being too impressive in their first years being the starter or even just first year playing.
Right. Exactly. To continue with the college football, we'll run through. I just picked some random awards. They had the awards show last week and obviously the Heisman. So I just picked some random awards to kind of shout out. The SEC Offensive Player of the Year was Alabama quarterback Bryce Young. No surprise there. SEC First Team Offense, Alabama quarterback Bryce Young. The Davey O'Brien Award for Best Quarterback in the Country, Alabama quarterback Bryce Young. The Maxwell Award, which was the actual Player of the Year, Alabama quarterback Bryce Young. And then the Heisman Award. I don't know if you've heard of this award. I don't know if you've had a guess who won this, but Alabama quarterback Bryce Young. Had a group chat pop up this week where some of our compadres and friends don't believe Bryce Young is the best quarterback under Saban that Alabama has had. We ran through that list, you and I. It's Bryce Young, then it's Tua, and then it's everybody else.
Yeah, there's nobody. You could throw Mac Jones maybe right. Third. Even he only really did it for a year. You're going to get a second year with Bryce Young. Tua did it for 2 years. He was part-time starter his first year. Then his second year, he had 42 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. But yeah, it's Bryce Young. AJ McCarron can get thrown in there, but he started for 4 years since he was a freshman. That's why he's the most winningest quarterback in Alabama history. But Tua is competition, and that's it. Bryce Young next year, I said it on the show before, he's going to make $20 million in endorsements from winning all of these awards and being Bama's quarterback. Right. And they're going to be back in the playoff next year, 100%.
And,
so,
and you know, obviously, he still has to produce this postseason. Like, the expectation is they're the number one team now. He's the number one player in the country across the board. The expectation is Bryce Young will be leading Alabama to a national championship. Absolutely. If he does that, there's no question in my mind that not only is he the best quarterback in Alabama under Nick Saban, but he becomes the best quarterback in Alabama program history in 1 year. Now, obviously, he has to stay healthy, and we wish nothing but health to Bryce Young. We had some boots on the ground at MSG for the Steph Curry game. Bryce Young was in the building. So shout out Bryce Young, shout out Parag Patel for that as well. Yes. But I don't understand the argument from anywhere else.
I don't understand the argument.
Is Jake Coker in conversations for best Alabama quarterback
under Nick Saban? Greg McElroy. Yeah.
I got nothing but respect for these dogs, man. These guys, but you know what the difference between Bryce Young and these people are? You know, you had Greg McElroy, you had Jake Coker, you had Tua. You had a plethora of quarterbacks at Alabama since Saban took over. It was 07, 08, 09, something like that. But all of these people had ridiculous Alabama defenses led by people like Landon Collins, led by people like Reggie Ragland. Ridiculous amounts of talent on the defensive side. Plus, you really can't knock these quarterbacks for playing with Heisman winning running backs like Trent Richardson, like Derrick Henry, like Mark Ingram, or Heisman winning wide receivers like Devontae Smith. No knocks on the quarterback. It's not their fault that these individual players won the Heisman. But it makes your job a lot easier when you have the best player in college football on your offense.
And that's what it year in and year out. We talk about it all the time. Nick Saban just reloads. They're going to be every year they go first round. This year, they're all going to go first round. The next year, everyone's going to go first round. So it's not like like there's no down year ever. They're just reload with better, bigger talent.
The real test will be what Bryce Young can do next year, because like you said, six or seven of his offensive parts on the team this year are going to the NFL.
Yeah.
And obviously they're going to reload. They had, I think, the top three draft class coming in this year again. But if he can put up mirror numbers, potentially win a second Heisman, or potentially go 2-for-2 in the national, whatever these cases may be, that's going to be the real test. And I have no doubt. I have no doubt in him right now. He's got the mindset. He's got the attributes. He's got the ability. He's the best quarterback in Alabama under Nick Saban right now. And the future is very bright for Mr. Bryce Young.
Absolutely.
Got some big bowl games. It is bowl season. I wanted to highlight three bowl games I wanted to highlight. I'm not using any of them for my Mush Squad Bet of the Week, but real interesting. Coming up tomorrow, Friday, the Bahamas Bowl, which is Middle Tennessee and Toledo. That's 12 noon. So if you ain't going to work tomorrow, sit in front of the TV 12 noon, watch the Bahamas Bowl. 6 p.m. tomorrow night, Friday the 17th, the Tail Greeter Cure Bowl, Northern Illinois versus Coastal Carolina. Big shout out to Coastal Carolina, the Chanticleers. Gotta love that mascot. And then Saturday, this one I'm going to be watching on Saturday, the Jimmy Kimmel Los Angeles Bowl. The Utah State versus Oregon State, a good old-fashioned Pac-12 West Coast matchup. It's going to be 7:30 on Saturday, ABC. Any thoughts on these?
That's pretty cool that Jimmy Kimmel actually has a bowl game named after him. Now, that's how you know you made it.
That's how you made it.
I like the Northern Illinois versus Coastal Carolina matchup is pretty intriguing. Northern Illinois had a great year. They won the MAC championship. They have Michigan State transfer Rocky Lombardi starting quarterback for him. He had another great year. Coastal Carolina, back-to-back really good seasons. The only reason why they lost a couple games this year was because the quarterback got hurt, but he's back and playing. So I think the spread was like 10 or something, but I think that game could be really close. It could be a shootout.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's transition to NBA before we jump into our Mush Squad Bets of the Week and our Patrick Ramsey Random Athlete of the Week, obviously brought to you by Off the Wall Donuts. NBA talk. Two big articles, two big pieces of news in the NBA today. Obviously, the COVID protocols again taking over. You're tuning into the Mush Squad podcast not to hear a bunch of bullshit about COVID. Whether you're pro or anti-vaccine, it doesn't matter to me. But we're all sports fans, and this stuff is really impacting the sports world. Yeah. The NBA has postponed the next two games for the Chicago Bulls due to the outbreak. Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Troy Brown Jr., Kobe White, Javonte Green, Matt Thomas, Derek Jones Jr., Stanley Johnson, Alize Johnson, the entire roster has come down with COVID, unfortunately. The Nets also have a bunch of athletes in COVID protocol. LaMarcus Aldridge, DeAndre Bembry, James Johnson, Javon Carter, Paul Millsap. And then today, after that big win last night for the Lakers in Dallas, overtime win, your man AR-15 with the game-winning shot. I love it. Shout out to
Austin Reeves.
Shout out those white boys. We out here. comes out that both Russell Westbrook and Avery Bradley have entered the COVID protocol. So what does that mean for the Lakers? I hear you have some breaking news for us, John.
Well, the Lakers actually, after his NBA G League debut scoring 42 points, have signed Isaiah Thomas.
Okay.
Hopefully this is more of like for the rest of the season instead of when just Westbrook comes back, because I think he could be valuable asset to come off the bench. And you know what you're going to get out of him? He's a walking bucket. He's going to be a knockdown shooter. You could pair him. Kendrick Nunn hasn't played all year. He's supposed to slowly be transitioning into coming back into some type of role with the Lakers. I think putting them on the court together could be deadly for a second rotation. We'll see what happens. The Lakers have been playing good basketball as of late. They won three of the last four. You could put four out of the last five now with the win last night. LeBron's finally playing like his old self. There's been a little bit of rumors, like I said last week with the Frank Vogel firing, that they were actually talking to the Sixers about possibly putting a package together to bring Ben Simmons over. However, I don't think Lakers have that many draft picks left from trading for Anthony Davis. And like I said, that package would have to include like Horton Tucker and Kendrick Nunn and a whole bunch of players that are just like, role players. No one really big in it, but we'll see what happens. The Lakers are the sixth seed as of now. I think there's potential that they could definitely keep climbing to four, possibly three. They're definitely not touching the Suns or the Warriors, but right. They could be right on the outskirts of them.
Yeah. I mean, LeBron's been playing lights out the last week and a half. Named Western Conference Player of the Year, 28.3 points per game, 8 rebounds, 7.5 assists per game over the last week. Also the oldest player to post a 30-point triple-double in Lakers franchise history, which is pretty cool. He passed Kobe just by a few hundred days. Kobe did it when he was like 36 and like 30 days old. LeBron did it 36 and 340 days old. So, LeBron finally playing. And they mentioned it last week in the post-game press conference following that win in overtime when LeBron was speaking. LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook combined for 67 points. And the first time all three of them played 40 minutes or more in a game this season. Yeah. Obviously, the overtime helps that number, kind of pads that stats a little bit. But if you can keep all three of them healthy, obviously, I know there's a lot of Russell Westbrook criticism around our group, around the world, based on the type of player he is. But if all three of them can stay healthy and produce, all three had 25 points or more. Russell Westbrook was one assist off of a triple-double. Anthony Davis had 20-something points and 15 rebounds. And LeBron is LeBron James. So I think the Lakers are kind of banking on this chemistry kind of continuing to meld together. And if they could stay healthy, there's no doubt in my mind they'll be a 3 or 4 seed out of the West.
Yeah.
The other NBA story of the week, obviously Steph Curry breaks the record for most made three-point field goals. In my opinion, it's actually still second place. First place is you at Roosevelt during the last, during the last 25 years of our life. But that's not here or there. But Steph Curry breaks Ray Allen's record. I was gonna say Ray Lewis, Ray Allen's record. and obviously Reggie Miller in there as well. John, give me who besides those three, Ray Allen, Reggie Miller, Steph Curry, who else are the greatest shooters in NBA history? Who you got?
I mean, I'll throw Klay Thompson in there, and he's on the same team as Steph Curry, which is ridiculous. But Klay, I think if you're over 40% from three, that's absolutely insane. I'll throw Klay, Larry Bird, obviously over 40% for his career. I'll even throw Kyle Korver. I'll throw Kyle Korver in there, 44% career three-point percentage, which is freaking amazing.
Which is nice, yeah. He had a nice long career too, Korver. I got to put KD up there too.
I'll put KD you know what there.
I mean, and it's pretty fucking crazy that Curry, Klay, and KD were on the same team. Obviously, they won the championships together, but three of the top 5, 6, 7, 8 shooters of all time on the same team.
They're on the same freaking team.
Yeah.
That's
crazy. I saw something after the game. Steph Curry gave Andre Iguodala, who's one of his longest tenured teammates, and Draymond Green, another longest tenured teammate, Rolexes commemorating the crowning moment, the breaking of the record. He later released that Klay's also got one too, because those were the three longest tenured teammates. They each got names engraved on the back. And I saw on Twitter, KD quote tweeted like that segment on ESPN and said, send the Roley. I gotta love KD trolling on Twitter, man.
Always king of the Twitter trolls, fucking Kevin Durant.
Standings in the NBA still obviously early, but significant. Nets 19-8, Bulls 17-10, Bucks 18-11, Cavs on a hot streak right now, winning 10 of the last 12. Really strong defense, man. That defensive game is wild right now. They're 17-12. Heat 16-12, Sixers 15-13. out west, right now it's a two-horse show. Warriors 22-5, Suns 21-5. And then you have the Jazz, the Grizzly, the Clippers, and like we mentioned, the Lakers moving up after that victory yesterday.
Keep climbing.
Before we jump into the Patrick Ramsey Random Athlete of the Week, another piece of significant news to football fans. So if you haven't heard yet, we kind of shared it on our social media at Mush Squad Podcast. The USFL is coming back this spring. There's going to be 8 teams in the USFL. The Tampa Bay Bandits, the New Orleans Breakers, the Houston Gamblers, Pittsburgh Maulers, Michigan Panthers, Birmingham Stallions, Philadelphia Stars, and the hometown New Jersey Generals. So these 8 teams, they won't be playing at home per se. What they're going to do this first season is find a centralized location. What I'm hearing is either Indianapolis or Los Angeles, kind of set up shop and have all teams practice and play in one or two facilities so that they can kind of prevent any COVID outbreaks and prevent any issues with that. But big news starting in April 2022, so 4 months away, is when the season's going to start. They will be televised. So they're going to be broadcast on both Fox and NBC. They signed a contract. The USFL, really interested to see what it does. I'm considering it like a developmental league for the NFL. A lot of young college kids or practice squad players getting some more exposure. And players like Taylor Heinicke came out of the XFL a few years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's worth it for these guys to kind of get more exposure. So really looking forward to it. USFL, April 2022. Let's get down to business, my boy. Mush Squad Podcast is proud to present the weekly Patrick Ramsey Random Athlete of the Week. Once again, brought to you by Off the Wall Donuts. No ad read this week because you should know about Off the Wall Donuts by now. And if you don't, just follow them on Instagram at @off_the_wall_donuts. Super simple, tremendous. We had one at my ugly sweater party. I'll kind of throw that picture in on Instagram this week. They did KFC Radio. Shout out Barstool Sports. They did KFC Radio this week, which is pretty cool. But yes, here we go. The Patrick Ramsey Random Athlete of the Week topic, 5'11" NFL players or shorter. Go ahead, John. You go first.
All right. My guy stands at 5'8", 206 pounds. Okay. He was drafted in 2004 in the second round by the Indianapolis Colts.
I have this guy too.
No.
I have this guy too. I got in the mind of a JG12 on this one.
Oh, man, this is my guy for life.
Keep going.
He played from 2004 to 2011, 7 years with the Colts, 1 year with the Chargers, two-time Pro Bowler, two-time All-Pro, 2007 Defensive Player of the Year, and a Super Bowl champion with the Indianapolis Colts. Who am I?
Who is none other than Big Bob Sanders?
The freaking man, bro. 5'8", yoked out of his mind.
Yeah.
Laying the boom.
Not necessarily a stat grabber, but was that guy who ran that secondary for that defense. Yeah. You had a lot of personalities on that defense during those Peyton Manning years. Robert Mathis was out there. Who was the DN that was on the Colts for a while? Freeney, right?
Freeney. So,
Bob Sanders was the guy that kind of kept everybody together, won Defensive Player of the Year, and took home the Super Bowl ring. So shout out Bob Sanders, man.
Yeah, he was the guy. He was the guy for all the undersized football players.
Yep. So, yeah, I had him too. So that's a wipeout for both of us. Still 0-0. Damn. All right, I got this guy here. Ready?
Go.
This 5'9" wide receiver went undrafted in 2004. He's played for the Rams, the Broncos, the Patriots, the Dolphins, and his first team, which was the Chargers. He retired with 16,797 all-purpose yards, led the league in receptions in 2007, 2009, and 2011, holds the record for most seasons in NFL history with 105 or more receptions, 110 or more receptions, 115 or more receptions, and 120 or more receptions. Undrafted out of Texas Tech University, played in three Super Bowls, lost all three.
Oof.
Who am I?
Oof. Wes Welker.
Wes Welker.
What a jinx.
What a jinx.
Get him to the Super Bowl.
Two Super Bowls with the Patriots, both of them versus the Giants. One Super Bowl with Denver versus the Seahawks, 0-3.
Oh, man, that stinks, bro. Shit.
He was the first real white boy slot that, like, really
changed the game. Like, kind of opened the door for other body type.
And I don't want to drop any names because there might be another one that you might have in play here. But there was some white boy slots back in the 90s. But Wes Welker changed the game.
Wes Welker definitely changed the game.
So you're 1-0. You're up 1-0. You got your second one here.
All right, here we go. My guy stands at 5'8", 188 pounds. He went undrafted out of the University of Wisconsin. He played from 2005 to 2014 with the Bills, the Ravens, the Jets, the Broncos, the Saints, the Bills, and Browns were his last team. He has a career tackles of 429, 14 career interceptions, and 1,277 return yards. Who am I?
Well, you threw me for a loop there because I was thinking wide receiver, but he's on the defensive side of the ball. So you went two defensive players, huh? What team he went undrafted, but what was his what team was he known for the most?
Ravens and Jets.
Defensive back?
Yes.
Jim Leonard?
Boom!
Love Jim Leonard.
That was my guy too, bro.
Love Jim Leonard.
And current defensive coordinator for the University of Wisconsin.
Nice, nice. All right. So 1-1. I got one more because my third was Bob Sanders.
Damn it.
If you don't get this, I can win.
Okay, let's go.
All right. This 5'10" wide receiver was drafted in 2001, 16th overall.
Mm-hmm.
He played for two teams, the New York Jets and the Washington football team between 2001 and 2014. All right, I see the face. From the U.
Yeah.
He had 732 career receptions, 66 touchdowns, and he was a big deep ball threat due to his 4.31 speed. Traded from the Jets to Washington for Lavernius Coles. Who am I?
You know what? Santana Moss was a Cowboys killer. He was one of my favorite players back from the U days. He was electric to watch.
Electric.
He was a monster.
Yep. I remember playing with him in Madden when I made my player in Madden. I want to say it was 2004. Mike Vick was on the cover. Joe McGrath, the running back, got drafted to Washington. And I was Santana Moss all day, every day. But yeah, so Santana Moss, Bob Sanders, and Wes Welker were my three. You're up 2-1. Fun fact about Santana Moss, never played a playoff game.
Wow, another jinx, bro. Look at these guys. They're short guys. You got to stay away from them.
All right, so here it is. If I get this, we tie. If I don't get this, you win. Who you got?
I hope you get it, actually.
Okay.
My guy is 5'6", 205 pounds. He was a fifth-round pick in the 2011 draft by the Atlanta Falcons. He's from the University of Oregon State.
Got it. Yes, yes, yes.
He played from 2011 to 2019 for the Falcons, Bears, Bucks, and Saints. Who am I?
Oh, you're not going to see it because of the
Yes.
Quiz Rogers.
Yes.
Didn't he have a brother too?
He did. He did have a brother, receiver. He was a receiver.
Yeah, that's my guy, Jaquiz. Yeah,
he was good. He was good. He was a good player.
He had that 1 or 2 years in Atlanta that everybody was like, just the next Darren Sproles. So
yeah. He was a big, big fantasy guy too. Yeah. That everyone would grab him up.
Yeah. All right. Yo, I like this one, man. And we ended in a tie.
It was a good one. It was a good one, man.
Mad proud about myself with that one. Mad proud. Last few things we got here before we wrap up. Questions. Let me check the Instagram. I know I posted about questions. I think there was one or two. If there's nothing worthwhile, we'll skip it. Let's take a look. Just my boy Tom shouting out. Just want to say my biggest fear in fantasy football is being the number one seed and losing in the first round.
Oh, man, that's the worst feeling. All that hard work all year long for what?
Not something I got to deal with because I got that first round bye, baby. but yeah, shout out, Tom. Shout out to everybody who listens. Follow us on Instagram at Mush Squad Podcast. We throw up questions for you to ask us questions. The day we record, we'll get to them in the podcast. So shout out the listeners. Shout out the viewers. Yo, we're up to 70 followers already.
Hey, well, man, keep it coming. Everybody wants to win some money, so let's win them some money.
Speaking of winning some money. Young 12, Mush Squad Bets of the Week. Just to recap, last week, 3-0. The week before, 3-0. The week before, 4-2. We are 10-2 in our last 3 weeks, my boy. That is dangerous.
Better be careful. Vegas might find us and try to shut us down.
We on something here. but what do you have? Who do you like? Give me your bet of the week.
I looked at everything. The bowl games, like you said, started up. College basketball Saturdays are always huge. But I'm not gonna get greedy. I thought about maybe doing two. I've only been doing one. I'm gonna do one again, and I feel very confident in this pick. I am going to take the Colts -2.5 at home against the Patriots. They're both gonna be. They're both coming off of a bye week. I know everyone's scared when Bill Belichick has all this extra time to prepare, but the Patriots are on a 7-game winning streak, and the Colts have been playing some really good football as of late. And I think the Colts are a really good football team, and I think that they will take care of business and beat the Patriots.
I like it. I'll ride with it. Just a word to the wise for our Mush Squad listeners. That's the Saturday game. So you got to get your bets in Saturday morning or afternoon. Because if you wait till Sunday, 11 a.m., like everybody else, it's going to be too late. So Colts -2.5, home versus the Patriots. I like it. Here's mine. You're not going to like it.
Oh, God.
You're not going to like it. The New York Giants are absolutely in a downward spiral. Daniel Jones is probably not going to play for the rest of the year. Kadarius Toney, their first round draft pick, is on COVID protocol, but also hurt his hamstring, but also hurt his oblique. So he's doubtful for this week. A lot of infighting between the wide receivers and the defensive backs during practice this week. They're home hosting division rival Dallas Cowboys. And the spread I have is Cowboys -10.5. Remind me what happened the last time we bet a spread and we sided with the favorite who was favorite by double digits. I'm talking Chiefs.
Absolutely annihilated them.
So I'm riding with the Cowboys. -10.5.
I think they
come into MetLife Stadium. I'll be there. You go into MetLife this week, hit me up. Your mother, your sister, your brother, your auntie, your uncle, anybody going to MetLife, Cowboys fans specifically, come hit me up. I'll be down in my section. Come say what's up. Cowboys -10.5 to absolutely, unequivocally obliterate the Giants this weekend. I'm talking 35-10, 35-13. The Cowboys get shit done.
I love it, obviously. It gets me worried how the last game against the Redskins, where it should have been not even close, and towards the end, the Redskins kept battling back. But like you said, this is Cowboys are starting to turn the corner, get into playoff mode, get into playoff form. So they have to take care of these bad teams, and I think they should have no problem. Hopefully Tony Pollard is back, but they should have no problem running the ball, throwing the ball, defense making plays. They're probably going against Mike Glennon.
Can we give some roses to Micah Parsons?
Bro,
we didn't even bring him up this episode yet.
If Brady wins MVP, I think Parsons should definitely be runner-up to MVP.
Yeah. Dude is a problem. Dude is a problem.
And another guy that's going to lead the way to drafting linebackers that could potentially be pass rushers as well. And they're just going to be flying off the board in years to come. Everybody's going to be looking for the next Micah Parsons.
And listen, obviously, CeeDee Lamb is going to be back. Amari Cooper is back. Zeke's back. I don't know if Tony Pollard's going to play. He's questionable. Dak's just got to play B-plus ball. If Dak
can needs play, to get his head out of his ass.
Well, if he can just play B-plus ball with the offensive weapons, and then you're going to blink your eyes, and the defense is fully healthy.
Yep.
Everyone is coming back. Randy Gregory, DeMarcus Lawrence, and Micah Parsons as three of your four front seven, bro. It's going to be a problem. And I just feel full confidence in this team. Regardless, listen, like I said, if Dak throws four picks, has a fumble, and turns the ball over, then there's an issue. But that's not going to happen against the New York Giants. It's not going to happen against the New York Giants. So just to recap, two Mush Squad bets of the week. We're riding with the Colts, -2.5 at home versus the Patriots. That's Saturday primetime, 8:20. And we're riding with the Cowboys at New York Giants, Cowboys -10.5, Sunday, 1 p.m. Any last words, 12?
LeBron, keep doing what you're doing, bro. Let's get after it. Austin Reeves, you're that freaking guy.
Yeah, we're going to get after it as well. Follow us on Instagram. I am number 12 spelled out. I'm Joe McGrath 89. Don't spell out 89. That's ridiculous. we are at Mush Squad Podcast next week. Just giving you guys a heads up. Next week is our first annual Christmas Spectacular Podcast. So we're going to get it done earlier in the week, probably Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, get it out before Christmas. And our Mush Squad bets of the week, wink, wink, going to be highlighting on a lot of NBA Christmas Day action.
Oh, my favorite.
So NBA Christmas Day action. Once again, at Mush Squad Podcast, big ups to Off the Wall Donuts, John and Kate Emmett's holding us down as usual. 12. Off the Wall Donuts. 12, another great week, my boy.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll catch you next week, everybody. Appreciate it.
All right.